Let's open the Word of God together to the Gospel according to John. What a great, great thing it is to gather on this Lord's Day, this special Lord's Day, Christmas Day, and open the Word of the Lord together. Our theme this morning is joy. And you'll remember during our season of Advent, we've been looking at the language of Christmas. We speak a language, even the world does. Certain words and phrases just keep appearing during the season of Christmas time. And they have their origin actually in the Word of God. And we've looked at the phrase, the Word of God, or the Word became flesh. And we've considered words like glory and hope and salvation and light. And then last night, Christmas Eve, the word peace. And today we come to consider very briefly this morning the word joy. And the question that we want to try to answer is, why is joy universally associated with Christmas? Every Christmas card, it seems, has the word joy on it somewhere. And whether that card is sent from France to England or from South Africa to Central America, the language of joy just seems to be associated with Christmas. And my question is, why? And what does it mean? Well, I want to read to you from John chapter 15, verse 11, and we'll find a clue, and then we'll make some connections from Scripture to Scripture and understand why joy is a great theme for Christmas. This is the word of Jesus to his disciples in John 15, verse 11. And there Jesus says on the eve of his crucifixion, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And so the Lord Jesus is saying something to us about joy. But of course, he's not using that word in a vacuum. The language of Jesus is really the language of the Old Testament. And so, like we've done many times, in order to understand something that the New Testament says, we have to go back and find the roots of that in the Old Testament. And indeed, the word joy is a word that appears over 200 times in the Word of God. It is a central word, and we find it even in the Old Testament. And if we think about that Old Testament notion of joy, there are several things about it that will help us understand what it means. Because if I were to ask you this morning, what is joy, how would you define it? What is it? Well, there's a very special and specific definition of joy that we find in the Bible. And here are some things that joy indicates according to Scripture. According to the Bible, joy is a sense of great delight. It is a sense of pleasure. It is a sense of being whole. It is a sense of being secure. And it is the enjoyment of profound happiness. And we're going to discover, and if we had time this morning, we could look at verse after verse after verse to prove the point that joy is a prominent emotion, a prominent experience of God's people, a unique experience of God's people. I want to give you a brief survey of what we learn about joy when we look at the Old Testament. The first thing we learn about joy is that joy in the Bible comes from being in the presence of God. You think about something the psalmist said, and we'll be thinking about what the psalmist said several times in this sermon, but you think about Psalm 16:11, where the psalmist says, "Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy." Now, you ought to be thinking about Christmas. You can make the connection. There's joy in the presence of God. Wherever God is, there is joy. There is satisfaction. There is security. There is a sense of delight. And the implication is clear. It comes from God. And we've learned over and again, and I appreciate the words of Dr. John Piper, who has sounded this note so clearly, that God is supremely delighted in himself. And then when he is among his people know that sense of delight. Our God is a joyful God. I don't know what images of God you have, but if you draw your image from the Bible, he is a joyful God, full of joy. And his presence radiates joy. And those who are related to him by his grace experience that joy. Wherever he is, there is joy. Let me tell you something else about joy that you discover in the Bible. Joy is the spirit of worship. And what I mean by that is every time God's people worship, they should experience joy. When the one true God is worshiped in spirit and in truth, there should result in great joy in the hearts of the worshipers. Think about Psalm 27, 6. I will offer, the psalmist says, I will offer to the Lord in His tent, in His sanctuary, sacrifices with shouts of joy. And we see that when God's people come together and they corporately experience God's presence, there is joy such that if there is not joy when God's people are worshiping, we should wonder, are they really worshiping? Joy in His presence, joy as we worship. Worship and joy are inseparable. They go together. And then there's something else we learn about joy as we look at the Old Testament and as we roll into the New and think about why Jesus spoke of joy. Joy is the result of those who have been redeemed by God. Those who have been saved by God's mercy, by God's grace, have a song of joy bursting forth in their hearts. They have rivers of joy erupting from the core of their being, just flowing out to the world. Living water, joyful water. The psalmist says, and this is Psalm 51, this is David, when he had sinned against the Lord and he's praying, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So God's people who've been saved by grace are a joyful people. Psalm 90, we sing of your loving kindness, that is, His covenant love, His redemptive love. We sing of it, and we sing for joy, and we are glad all our days. Isn't that something? All of that is compacted into this word joy. Now, let me take you to a scene that you know well, and you think about it a lot at Christmas time. Remember those shepherds out there tending their flock at night, minding their own business, and all of a sudden the angel appears with a message. These lowly shepherds, just, you know, your average working man out there making a dime, and all of a sudden angels appear, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the angel said to these shepherds, fear not, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. Now, what's happening is, and I hope you see this, everything that the Old Testament said about joy has been concentrated in the person of the baby born in Bethlehem. Every promise of joy, every dimension of joy, every nuance of that word, every piece of that rich word has been compressed into this baby Jesus. And so when the angels come, of course they're going to describe joy. For you, great news for the world, a great gospel that results in great joy. Isn't that something, that joy becomes a synonym for the gospel? How about that? The birth of joy. And don't you know, those shepherds were quite excited about being the first ones to hear that joy had been born. If you think about that scene with these angels and the shepherds out there having a conversation about Jesus and the joy He brings, it is clear that joy comes from above. It's as if the angel was saying there's been no joy until Jesus. Been types and shadows of joy in the old covenant. But joy has come in person, and the joy has come from above. In other words, before Jesus came, there was no joy on earth, because joy had been lost in the Garden of Eden. God's presence, we'd removed ourselves from it because of our sins. We were lost, no longer innocent. And everything we need to experience joy was taken away. And so on that night that Christ was born, joy came from heaven. Joy, not on earth. Real wholeness, real security, real delight to this fallen world. Think about being shipwrecked on an island and you're all alone and you know no good news. You know no delight. You know nothing of blessings, peace. And on this island of guilt and shame, suddenly one comes to you and he is the embodiment of love and life and forgiveness and joy. That's what's happened to each of us when Jesus came. He came to us on our own islands of shame and wickedness and lostness, and he brought joy. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. And so joy must come from above. It can't be found down here. It is a gift from God. But there's something else I want you to think about. It is joy known only by sinners. Only by sinners. That seems kind of odd. But we think about the shepherds. What kind of men were those shepherds? If you knew anything about the first century shepherds, you knew to stay away from them. They were stinky dudes, right? They had a bad job, bad occupation. They had a bad reputation. They were kind of the worst of the worst. Isn't it something that the news of joy is announced to the outcasts, like the shepherds? And they hear the gospel first. And you know what that's saying? It's saying joy is for those who are lost. Joy is for those who need salvation. Joy is for those who need a Savior. If you don't need a Savior, you'll never know joy. You have to know sin and guilt and shame before you can know life and redemption and love and salvation. You have to be redeemed by Jesus to know joy. And maybe you're going to push back on that a bit. Maybe you're going to say, Mike, I know lots of people who aren't Christians who have joy. And I would say, you know, what they have is not joy. It may be happiness. But whatever they have is dependent upon something that's not eternal, not lasting. It's very temporal. It's fleeting. But if you have Christ, you have a joy that's eternal, unchanging, cannot be taken away, cannot be affected by anything going on around you or in your world. It is a joy unspeakable and a joy impossible to lose if you have Christ. You have to be a sinner to know joy. And then we learn from Jesus in John 15 that it is His joy. It is His joy we find. Not like the world gives. We met last night, and that's something we looked at last night from the perspective of peace. Jesus said, of peace, I'm going to give you my peace, and not as the world gives. And now just a chapter later, he says, I'm going to give you my joy. And the implication is not like other substitutes for joy. I'm going to give you a joy that is the joy known to those who've been dead and are now alive, who've been lost and are now saved, who've been blind but now see. I had a conversation years ago as a young pastor with a young, delightful lady who was born blind. And I've long forgotten her name, but I'll never forget what she said. She visited our church, and I began conversing with her about her blindness, and she had never seen the light of day her whole life. And we were talking about the experience of living as a blind person, and she said, one of the odd things that people say to me, they say to me, well, is it bad being blind? And she always answers, I don't know, because I've never seen. I don't know what I'm missing. This is normal for me. I don't know that I'm missing anything. And I learned a great lesson that day. All over the world, there are people this morning who are spiritually blind, and they don't know what they're missing. They have gotten used to cheap substitutes for life and for joy and for sight and all those blessings we have in Christ. They've got their bar set so low, and they don't know any better. But those who've been redeemed and had their eyes open to their sin and their need of a Savior and have seen the love of God in Christ and the power of the cross and the resurrection, they've experienced that. They were once blind, and now they see, and now they look back and they go, oh, that's what I was. I was blind, but now I see. I had no joy, but now I've got it. And so if you know Christ, you know that things are different now. You know you have a joy and a life that you didn't have before. And that's the difference. You have something to compare it to. And that makes joy even a greater reality in your life. And so Jesus in John 15 is saying, I want you, on the basis of everything I've ever said to you, to have my joy, the joy that comes from Jesus. The joy, if it comes from Jesus, that is eternal and not temporal. The joy which comes from Jesus, which is the defining characteristic of his kingdom. Now let's think about that for a moment. Joy, the defining characteristic of his kingdom and those who are in it. That brings us now full circle to the point to think about this morning. Jesus is saying to his disciples in John 15, I want you to have my joy. Not just once when you trust me, but I want it to be the prevailing atmosphere of your life and service in your discipleship. You are to be a people of joy because you know the joy of the one who is the embodiment of joy, who came to this joyless world 2,000 years ago and was born to the Virgin Mary, and he lived a holy and perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sins, and he was entombed, and then the third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to the Father, and he now reigns as King. That joy should be yours every moment of every day. Think about this. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you see why? If you have Christ, not only do you have love and the other manifestations of fruit that we find in Galatians, but you have joy. Joy. The joy the shepherds knew. The joy the leper knew in the Old Testament when he was healed. The joy of those who had a loved one who died and Jesus raised that loved one from the dead. The joy of those who were blind and Jesus healed them. The joy of those who were leprous and Jesus healed them. You've got that. But it's not a one-time experience. It's something that's to control your life. It is a fruit of the Spirit. God's people have no right not to be joyful because of Christmas. Because of Christmas. His joy has been given to us. Joy, even in pain. Christ, when he promised his joy, was about to experience the greatest pain known to any man. The greatest suffering known to any man. Joy when we suffer. Joy when we face life's complexities and uncertainties. Joy when the world is troubled and the reverberations of sin and rebellion even strike us. Joy all the time. Joy. And then ultimately, when we get there in glory, joy forever. What will happen when we die or when Christ comes and we face him for the first time face to face, what will he say to us? Listen to this. He'll say, well done. And he will say, enter into the joy of your master. Heaven will be a place full of joy. Joy. Joy is a powerful thing. And joy is central to Christmas. All across our world today, people are talking about joy, and tomorrow they'll be talking about something else because Christmas Day will come and go. In fact, in some places, I suspect, maybe in Australia, Christmas Day has already come and gone. It's already December 26th. Christmas and the joy of Christmas lasts just 24 hours, doesn't it? Many, many years ago, I had the opportunity to study in France. One day after class, I was able to take a bus and go to a little bitty walled village just south of Strasbourg on the far eastern side of France, just on the German border. And I went into this walled town, and many of you have traveled way more than I have in Europe. You understand that when you travel in Europe, it's not like America. There's a sense of being quiet. There's almost a spirit of, I don't know what the word is, there's just like a depression. And you look in the eyes of the people, no one looks at you, no one smiles like they do in the South, no one says, how you doing? They don't do that, everybody minds their own business. And I've just gotten used to that as I was a student there. And in this day, I walked through this walled city, and it was the same, joyless people, not looking in you in the eye at all. At the far north end of the city, there was a Christmas shop. And now, I was there in June, and it was a Christmas shop on the left side looking north in that little town. I think it was called Colmar, if I'm not mistaken. And I go in the Christmas shop, and everybody's smiling. It is full of people. There are ornaments everywhere. There are angels flying around everywhere. There are trees everywhere. All the stuff of Christmas was there, and everybody's smiling. Everybody's having a good time. Isn't that something? And I thought, even way back then, I thought, that's what Christmas does. It puts a smile on our face. And here is the good news. For Christians, Christmas is every day of the year, because the joy we have in Christ is not a joy that just comes one day a year, that we celebrate in a certain place on one day of the year, but no, it's something that we experience all the time. And if you know Christ, there's always a smile on your face, because you know the one born in Bethlehem's manger. You know he's the embodiment of your joy. And no matter what happens tomorrow or tonight or this afternoon, no one can take the joy of Jesus away from you. That joy was made possible because your Savior came and was born for you and lived for you and died for you and rose for you. And Lord, help us to be a people of joy. That 2023 will be a joyous year because we know the one born in Bethlehem's manger. May God bless the preaching of his word, and let's prepare our hearts to come to the table. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for all those words that we associate with Christmas, that the Word indeed became flesh, and you brought light and salvation and peace and glory and hope and now joy. And we thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength as well, that we who possess your Spirit have the joy of the Lord as a fruit. Father, we thank you that the Lord and King of joy has conquered our sins, and that we have a right and a privilege and a duty to sing for joy, because we've been loved by an awesome God who reached down through a baby and redeemed us to you. Father, help us now to leave and to serve and to be disciples and warriors and advocates for Christ, ambassadors for your kingdom in the spirit of joy. That never again will we allow the gloom and doom of sin, and even our own sin, or the gloom and doom of the world to loom larger than the joy we know because of Christmas. Oh, Father, let the spirit of Advent control us every moment of every day. Let the joy of the Lord grow deeper till the day we see Jesus face to face. And we pray, Father, that as we have your joy, even in our sorrows and pains and afflictions, that it will attract the lost to you, that the joy we have will be a joy they seek in Christ. And so let them see Jesus in us. And now, Father, unify us in that joy, in that love, as we share the body and the blood of our Savior. And as we commune with him, nourish us on your Son, that we might be strong, that we might be faithful. And bless us, Father, to love one another as you've loved us. And we ask this not for our sake, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.